I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Good morning. A bunch of bicycles this morning on Cincinnati Edition. You'll learn the amazing story of an Italian cyclist who won the Tour de France twice and used his fame during World War II to save Italian Jews. Gino Bartoli and the Road to Valor later on Cincinnati Edition. Plus, Thane Maynard talks to bike snob NYC Evan Weiss about urban cycling, and you'll hear about cyber cycling and focus on technology. Next month, Ohio's new exotic animal law goes into effect. It bans Ohioans from buying new dangerous animals. Current owners may keep their animals if they register them with the state, get a new permit by 2014, and follow new caretaking standards. The law came about after a suicidal owner released dozens of exotic animals from his farm near Zanesville last year. This morning, Marianne Zalesnik talks with Brian Gill, who runs Cool Critters Outreach, a reptile education and rescue organization in Cincinnati, about the new law and what it could mean for owners of exotic animals.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. How you doing?
Good. Well, your company's been around, your business has been around since 2006. Just give us an overview of what it is that you've been doing.
All right. What we do is education and rescue work with animals. We mainly deal with reptiles. We do have some amphibians and invertebrates, you know, different frogs and tarantulas and things. We take them in from people that have them as pets and don't want them anymore. And then we utilize some of them in our educational programs. We go out to schools and scouts and birthday parties and corporate events. You name it, we go. Bring some animals out so the public can really kind of learn about them, understand kind of a little bit more about these animals. And we also talk about not only the animals in the wild, but, of course, in captivity since everything's rescued. We want people to get the right information before they go out and get that iguana or the snake or whatever it is they decide to get.
Now, with the laws changing in Ohio, do you have special permission, for lack of a better word, to have these types of animals?
At this point, no. The laws, when they wrote them, they really kind of focused, in regards to reptiles, they focused on the larger pythons, things 12 feet and longer, and things like alligators and such. Now, while we do have three alligators and we have one snake that exceeds that 12-foot, everything, again, is rescued. We take them in from private owners, but we also get them from, like, the SPCA and fire and police departments, that kind of thing. So we're working right now. I've made several contacts or attempts to contact to try to get to be one of the organizations that can actually continue to handle these animals. That way, when somebody gets a call and they have that alligator they need to get rid of, they can go ahead and give it to me, because what we do with the alligators, actually, we take them down to Florida to a sanctuary. So we make sure they don't end up back in the hands of the average person.
So what's the status of that then? I mean, the law goes into effect September 5th.
The law goes into effect September 5th. For those that have the animals, you have to have them registered with the state at that point to say that you have these animals. Then effective January 1st of 2014, if you have these animals, you can continue to keep them with the proper permits and so on, but you would not be able to acquire any new animals.
And any word on when you'll find out whether you have the permission?
No clue at all.
Permission.
Still working on it. Of course, you know, we're dealing with a lot of the politicians, I guess, and so on. So it's going to take a little bit of time, I'm sure, to really get into it. But we're working on it. We really want to be able to make sure that these animals, like I said, don't end up in the hands of the people that don't need them.
So let's talk a little bit about what you do. Say somebody goes to Florida and they find a baby alligator, which I think happens periodically, and they bring them home and stick them in the bathtub, and then they grow. is that what happens? I mean, is that what you're getting?
Typically, actually, what we get is people that buy these alligators from reptile shows, or they get them from privately owned pet stores. You know, they sell this cute little baby alligator, and then, you know, they don't think about the future, how it's going to get big. I mean, you'll have a potential of 8 to 15 feet and 1,000 pounds for an alligator, for an American alligator. So, you know, they think about that cute little animal that they've got right there, and it just, they don't really think about the fact that it's going to get really big. It's going to end up, you know, potentially doing you some harm.
So where do you keep all of your animals?
We have everything in our house. Everything is in its own room downstairs. We have all sorts of different animals. We have lots of different cages. We have a pond for the alligators. We have several different cages for these animals. Everything has its own cage. Everything has its own pond or whatever it needs to survive and have a very good life in captivity at this point. So, again, everything's in the house. Of course, we do have a limited space because we do live with the animals.
They're in your home.
They're in our home.
So how many can you have?
It's kind of tough to say because it's going to depend on the animal. Obviously, for larger pythons, big alligators, we can't have that many. But smaller things, little geckos and that, you know, we can house a few more. I think at one point we had in excess of about 100 animals. That was an emergency situation where we had to go in. We were called into a situation that had occurred. And we had to take in quite a few animals at that point. Not too long ago, there was a house fire in Mount Healthy. We took in 31 animals that day. So it just depends on the situation. 100 plus was a bit much. Right now, we're housing a little over 40, I think, between 40 and 50.
Now, it's when the animal situation happened in Zanesville, and the there were lions, there were tigers, there were very, very large mammals. Are you set to deal with those types of animals too?
Or? No way. Not a chance. You know, that whole situation in Zanesville, it was very unfortunate, but I understand why they did what they did. A lot of people, and we've talked, you know, I've talked in great length to a lot of people about that whole situation, and, you know, a lot of people, why couldn't they just tranquilize them and wait? Well, the tranquilizers take a while to set in. So you're talking about a deadly animal that's going to run loose, and they needed to do what had to be done. So
basically, though, the types of things you take in, you said geckos. Are there that many geckos around?
We get people that, I mean, leopard geckos, crested geckos. They're all these little things.
Tell me what those are.
They're all pets. They're all things that are sold in pet stores or reptile shows, and people get them, and they think they're a great pet, and they can be. But again, you have to research and know exactly what you're getting into. You know, we've got animals that are going to live maybe 8 or 9 years. The average snake is 20 or 25 years, but we've also got tortoises that can live 80 years or more. So, you know, you have to really think about what you're getting into, and are you going to be able to do it for the long haul? Do you know how big it's going to get? Do you know what it's going to eat, what it really requires? You know, whether it's UV rays, whether it's calcium supplements, whether the food, I mean, everything. There's a lot of care that goes into some of these animals.
Let's talk a little bit about the type of care that you have to provide. And for some of these, I'm going to call them exotic. I don't know if they're exactly exotic if they sell them in the pet store, but they're not your average dog and cat.
Exactly. They're considered exotic pets no matter what.
So do they fall under the law?
Yes.
So tell me about the care. What do you need to do for
the
them?
The care, I mean, and again, it's going to depend on the animal. Snakes need heat. They need a big enough space so they can stretch out. They need stuff to hide under. They need stuff to climb on most of the time. It depends, again, on the animal itself.
So you don't keep them in an aquarium cage?
We've got several in aquarium cages. We've got several custom-built cages. We've got, again, a custom-built pond for one of our bigger alligators that we've got. But, you know, certain animals need just heat and then water, and it's very minimal. Others need heat, and they need the ultraviolet rays, and they need calcium supplements, and they're going to need, of course, food, whether it's daily or every few days or every couple weeks or once a month. I mean, it's a whole calendar issue that you have to go through and make sure you're providing the right care. You have to keep a clean cage all the time. You have to, again, constantly monitor, make sure they're healthy, make sure they're eating, make sure everything is good. You have to worry about illnesses or mites that could appear on the animals. There's all sorts of different things you have to watch out for.
How'd you get into this business?
Initially, it was a hobby. It was a hobby. I thought it was kind of cool to have a snake or two, and we had those. And what we would do is my wife and I would take them into our children's schools when they were back in preschool and kindergarten. We'd take them in and show the kids, and the kids always thought it was very interesting. So I decided to work part-time at the Cincinnati Zoo. So I worked there for a couple years in their Nocturnal Adventures department, which was a blast. And as I was doing that, I decided to go ahead and start looking at this whole process of starting a business and maybe doing this for a little part-time fun, just to maybe make a few extra bucks. So we started to do this, and initially it was just for education. We wanted to go out and do the education part. The rescue came very quickly afterwards. As soon as people understand that you've got snakes and lizards, they're willing to drop off their iguana, their turtle, whatever they've got. So it all instantly became rescue, and so I was doing it part-time starting in 06. At the end of 08, I was laid off from my full-time job with all the cutbacks, and I took this full-time beginning of 09, and I've been running with it since.
So you go to schools, and you go, and what else do you do?
We pretty much any event. We go schools, we go scouts, we do birthday parties for the fun aspect. You know, kids like to see these animals. They like to be able to handle these snakes and things that they don't typically get to handle. We've been to plenty of nursing homes. We do all sorts of programs anywhere and everywhere. We travel pretty much anywhere you want to You want us to go, we'll go.
And as the laws change, and I assume if you can get your approval to take these animals in, you'll be willing to help people out if they're trying to get rid
Absolutely.
Of their exotic animals.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we want to do. You know, our whole focus, we have, you know, we've had plenty of animals come in that are wonderful pets. We actually just adopted out an animal last night, and it was they're wonderful pets. But we get some that are very, very aggressive, and we don't adopt those things. That we make sure they go to the proper places.
Well, thank you so much for talking with me.
Anytime. Thank you for having me in.
Brian Gill is the owner of Cool Critters Outreach. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Mary Ann Zalesnik.